Hello and welcome. We are in for a treat today because we get to talk about the Loppet Cup, the cross-country ski World Cup, which just took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota this past weekend, February 17th and 18th. It was an absolute whopper of a weekend. It was so fun, so great. Minneapolis went absolutely all out to put on a stellar event. It really is hard to be too effusive. This is Hear Her Sports, and I am your host and producer, Elizabeth Emery. And this episode is one of the cross-country ski race reports that we've been creating since the beginning of the season. I highly recommend going back to listen to all of them because everyone is so different, each of the athletes is different, and has a fun perspective to share. Today, joining me is Leanne Bentley, who has been the organizing mastermind of the athletes that have been on the show. Much more than that, she is the press officer for the U.S. Cross Country Ski Team and is the communications manager at U.S. Ski and Snowboard. In a bit, she'll explain more about what that means and what she does, and that she has a dream job, which I absolutely loved hearing. She is a great skier. I saw her in Minneapolis effortlessly zipping up one of the climbs with no poles, filming the crowd with one hand and encouraging louder cheers with the other. I thought it would be fun to have Leanne on the show to offer a broad perspective of what the weekend was like and about the impact it will have on cross-country skiing in the U.S. And that is exactly what we got. So here is Leanne. Well, hi, Leanne. I'm so absolutely thrilled that you're here, and we have had such a weekend, and this is going to be... This is going to be really great to talk to you, especially since you and I have been sort of chatting by email for so long to organize all the other race reports. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, I finally got to hug you right before it all started. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Before history unfolded.
Oh my gosh. So how are you doing?
I mean, I feel like I am riding a high that will never go away. I don't think I've really accepted what just happened.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I can describe it.
Okay. Okay. We're here to talk about the Loppet Cup in Minneapolis. I'm sure everybody has realized that already. But before we get to specifics, can you just talk about what your job is and sort of introduce what that is?
Yeah. Oh, that's a hard question. But my job, I work at U.S. Ski and Snowboard as a communications manager for the entire organization. But I'm also the press officer for the cross-country team. So I travel around the world with them when I'm given the opportunity to handle all of the press needs and social media and kind of do that day in and day out with the most incredible athletes I've ever met. So it's a dream job situation, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
It certainly seems like a dream job, at least from the outside anyway. Yeah.
It is. It couldn't get better than this, that's for sure.
So how often are you actually traveling with a team?
This year it's been more. So I started off the season with them when we were in Ruka, Finland, and then I joined them back again at the Tour de Ski, and we just wrapped up the North American World Cups in Canmore and Minneapolis, and then I will head out to Oslo, Norway for the Holmenkollen all the way through to World Cup finals.
Oh, so quite a bit of the season.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
And what are you doing on site? And I ask that because in Minneapolis, I saw you on the course, I saw you videotaping, but I also saw you giving time checks to people and, you know, managing the press conference. And there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And I guess it definitely differs what I do based on where we're at, what location we're at. But Minneapolis was definitely a lot more because it was a domestic World Cup. But generally what I do, I'm trying to think. Some days I'm out there ski testing with the wax techs, helping them do glide outs to choose the best ski for the athletes that day. That's typically very early in the morning before sometimes the sun even comes up. And then once the athletes get there, I'm capturing social media content for the U.S. Ski and Snowboard social media channels, as well as for the athletes individually themselves. And then I am typically in the athlete pen, so that's where the start and finish area is, just doing my best to hype them up, kind of be, I'm like the little hype girl of the team, taking their jackets to them to the finish right when they're crossing the line. And then the big part of it is at every World Cup, there's this thing called a mix zone. And it's where all of the media gets to interview all of the athletes after their race. And so walking all the athletes through that, capturing what they say so I can distribute it to media around the US and international media that I've built relationships with, and just kind of helping to generate awareness and interest in every single one of our athletes on a broader stage than what you would just see on TV. So I wear a lot of different hats. I do it to myself, but and I'm happy that I'm up late at night every night doing this for them. But yeah, I can't really explain what I do every single day because it's different every single day.
Well, that's part of the cool bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do social media training or media training with the athletes?
I haven't done it with the entire team here with the cross country athletes, but because I think a big part of media training is just doing media, you know, getting a lot of interviews under your belt and just kind of realizing the things that you don't like about how you say things and what you can work on and so on and so forth. But with a lot of our athletes, I try to focus on what they can do on social media because as athletes, they're inherently influencers and using that platform to help leverage who they are as athletes and reach a broader audience than just like the endemic Nordic ski audience. But as we get closer to like a world championships or an Olympic size event, I mean, this felt like the Olympics Minneapolis, but it's just making sure that what they say is what they want to say, knowing that, I mean, when they're talking in front of a news camera, everything that they say can be used for and against them. So just kind of walking them through that, making sure they're comfortable, setting up interviews, just kind of giving them the tools to be successful in front of a camera.
Well, they all seem really, I mean, I don't really mean well-spoken, but they seem very thoughtful and
yeah,
you know, about what they're saying, about their sport and about what they're saying and how they're presenting themselves. It's really fun.
Yeah, they're really good at it. And it makes me so happy listening to how they view things. I mean, I think they have such a careful way of viewing themselves and what they're doing in their sport, and they're just really incredible people. And I think that comes across really well when they're talking about how their race went or how inspired they are by their teammates or how the like skis were good that day. They're really good at explaining it for the general audience. So I'm proud of them.
Yeah. And it's also fun because they don't all sound the same. You know, they definitely sound like individuals, which I think is also really special.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you can definitely tell how someone's day is based on what they're saying in the mix zone. And I think they're really honest. All of our athletes are really honest, and they know that what they say can be used to inspire younger kids around the world and the country. And so I think they're really careful with their words. And it's just, I mean, it's incredible to hear it straight from them.
Do you talk about being positive or negative? Because, you know, not all days are great, but you don't want to be the Debbie Downer. So how do you deal with that?
I mean, you can definitely, I use the term read the room. I mean, if I see an athlete cross the finish line and they're obviously not very stoked on their race, I try to get to them before they start the mix zone and just tell them to take a deep breath, because it's really important to be honest about how your day went. Because I don't think if you have a bad race, you should go out and say it was the best race of your life, because that's not necessarily true. But I want them to just kind of take a second and reflect about what just happened and try to find something positive about their race before going through, because at the end of the day, they're still racing at the top of the sport. I mean, the World Cup is as high as it gets. And so even on a bad day, they're still here, right? And I want them to try to recognize that. But also at the same time, if they didn't have their day, they should be honest about it. They just shouldn't say something that could negatively affect them in the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I probably shouldn't influence your answer, although we've already sort of intimated what we both think about what the weekend was like. But, you know, at the end, someone described the weekend to me as magical. And from a spectator's point of view, it really was. You know, the last minute snow, the USA podiums, both for the women and the men, the sun, the huge crowds, and all the kids. Like, what were your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I still haven't really come down from this because it just doesn't seem real. I mean, back in 2020, we were all on our way to the World Cup, and then it got canceled because of COVID. And that was a really big bummer, but it was understandable. But now, years later, we're back, and it truly felt like the Super Bowl of cross-country skiing. I mean, Matt Whitcomb, the head coach, one night said that this was one of the most important days in the history of American skiing, and I 100% believe that. I think what we just saw in Minneapolis is a turning point for skiing, and it was, as you said, it was magical. Like, the fact that it snowed 6 inches the day we got there, that we had Gus on the podium, that we had Jesse on the podium, that we had so many top 30 results, first World Cup starts. You really couldn't write a better ending for what we just saw.
You talked a little bit about the impact of it, but, you know, like, why did Matt Whitcomb say that it was the most important day in U.S. skiing? Like, what exact, like, specifics?
I mean, I can't dive into his beautiful
sure,
mind, but I think for, like, the way I see it is we haven't had a World Cup in the U.S. since 2001, and Nordic skiing in America is different than what it was in 2001 because of the amazing skiers that have come from then. And I think what you just saw was 40,000 plus fans seeing the people that they've admired only through a TV screen finally in person. And I mean, for me to see your heroes up front, right in front of you, surrounded by your friend, like family, friends, and everyone, is just the most magical thing that can happen. And I mean, I would like to see in 15 years all of the kids on the World Cup circuit because of what they just saw in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Like, this is completely going to change the sport. And I think it also, it was one of the biggest World Cups in World Cup history, I would say. It was the loudest World Cup. It was, I mean, all of the European athletes were like, what did we just witness? You know?
Oh, really?
Like, it was complete insanity. You couldn't hear yourself breathe because it was so loud.
It was so
loud. And I think everyone's to the point where, like, this is what they want every World Cup to be. Like, the U.S. completely just reset the precedent of what a World Cup could be. And I think that's really, really magical.
That's cool.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was surprised to take away from it was sort of this idea that it was doable. Because on the TV, the snow looks like an ice skating rink. The hills look ridiculous. It just looks like something I could never possibly do, and no human could possibly do. And that was really switched for me at the World Cup. And of course, although those pro athletes are absolutely amazing, and I'm not trying to diminish it, but it didn't, you know, like, I can imagine being a kid there thinking, like, wow, I can do that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the most beautiful thing that came from this is all these children, and not even children, but teenagers and parents and adults are seeing Rosie Brennan ski by or JC Schoonmaker and being like, I could go out and do that. Maybe not that fast, but I could do that. And I think that is what the biggest takeaway from this World Cup is. Now people can see themselves in these athletes. And it's not just an athlete on social media or on the TV screen anymore. It's a person that they saw, whether it be for a split second going on the uphill, that they were like, I kind of want to try that, you know?
There were a lot of interaction possibilities for kids there. You know, you had moments where the kids could get autographs from the athletes and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, did you get an impression from the kids what they were thinking and what it was like to be next to Jesse and Gus? And did you get a sense of what it was like for them to have that opportunity?
I mean, so yesterday was the Lopet Play Day at the Trailhead, and we had about 9 or so athletes, including Jesse, Rosie, Julia, Renee, Novi, all there to do, I thought, a 1-hour signing. They stayed there for 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
Just sitting at this table, signing for children who had been waiting in line since 8 o'clock that day, I was told. The line was over a half a mile long. It lasted for like 4 hours. And every single kid that came through, I feel like they've never smiled that big. They were meeting their heroes in person. And that's a completely life-changing moment for them. And I really think it was a life-changing moment for our athletes too, because they don't get that in Europe to that extent. They've never been to the U.S. racing on a World Cup. This was a first for every single person there. And I think I can't explain how special it was for every single person, athlete, coach, staff, fan, staff member, you know?
That's great. I'm thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, it makes me emotional thinking about it. It was just the most incredible weekend of all of our lives, I think.
I feel like there were a lot of tears. And I don't discount myself.
Especially after Gus won, I don't think I've seen that many people collectively cry for so long. And then Jessie getting on the podium, I mean, seeing her, knowing how hard she's worked to bring this World Cup back and how much she's wanted this, not only for the sake of her career, but everyone else's, it was, you just can't put it into words how much it meant to this team to be in Minneapolis.
Do you get a sense that the sponsors and everybody else involved that is not the team, are they understanding of what a big a deal this was? And did they have as much fun as everybody else?
You know, I think they certainly did. I would think so. I mean, I didn't see a frown. I didn't see a dry eye in the house. Every single person that I talked to, whether it was a board of directors, trustees, sponsors, vendors, anyone there, everyone's pretty much the same sentence I heard out of everyone's mouth was, this was the wildest thing I've ever seen. This is cross-country skiing. And I think America put on the biggest show that you could have ever imagined. And it's going to change the sport at all levels.
Do you think that there will be more World Cups in the U.S. soon, not, you know, 20 years from now?
Yeah. I mean, I hope it doesn't take another 23 years, but I think this is generally, I think we're in a really good position to bring it back because of what we just saw and how successful it was. Yes.
So one of the things that I thought a lot about, and I'm sure this is just in great part my reaction to having friends and family at events that I've raced at, and I always find it hard to, you know, be focused on the performance part of the event. How did the athletes react to having so many fans and it being like this really particular event? And we did have podiums on both the men's and women's sides, but there were some athletes who, you know, I can imagine were not as thrilled with their performance as they would have liked to have been.
Yeah. I mean, and we're talking about athletes who are at the top of their game. So of course, when they don't perform up to their standards, you get a little bit down on yourself. But the general kind of reaction that I got from, especially from the US team, is results really weren't the biggest factor this past weekend. It was the atmosphere that was the factor. And I remember hearing Jessie at one point saying that I think she said in the press conference, she could get last place and it would still feel like everything. And I think that was kind of the general consensus, is that even if you weren't exactly where you wanted to be on the results list, you were skiing in front of 20,000 plus people. So who cares? You know, you made it to Minneapolis. That was the biggest win, is racing in front of your home crowd.
That was a terrific answer Jessie gave for the question about what it would mean to win.
Right. I know. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing for sure, but I think it was something along those lines, that in the end of the day, it didn't really matter. The fact that they were even racing here, is that's the biggest win.
Yeah. Anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know, and I'm handing it over to you because, you know, I think what's exciting to talk to you is that you do have this bigger picture. You're not racing. You're involved with all the athletes, both the men and the women. You know, you're involved with the sponsors. You're involved with the media. Like, what did you see that you could tell us about that you think is important?
I think, I feel like I've already said it, but it's so important to give the opportunity to our athletes around the world the chance to race in front of their home crowd. I know that when I was really little, I was incredibly inspired by athletes like Keegan Randall and Jessie Diggins, and I had posters of them on my wall, and I started skiing because of them. And now they're doing that still for younger generations, and then we have athletes like Novi McCabe, Sophia Laukley, Sydney Palmer-Ledger, Sammy Smith, inspiring the younger generations to continue to start skiing. And I think you don't get that type of inspiration by watching it on TV. You get it by seeing athletes in front of you doing something that is possible for you to do as well. And by making it more accessible and by making it a powerful statement like we did in Minneapolis, this will 100% change the sport. And so, yes, I want the World Cup to become a regular stop in the US, because without it, we won't have what we just had. And we completely changed the game by having Minneapolis. And I think our sport changed for the better because of this. And in 15 years, it's going to be better because of what we just saw this weekend. And from my side, from a media perspective, is people really care about cross-country skiing. We just had to make it more accessible. And I think we just did. And people are picking it up that typically didn't in the past. And that is very cool, that cross-country skiing is a big sport. We just needed the platform to show it.
Well, great. Thank you. The other thing I noticed before we go is that, you know, it was right in the city.
It was right in the city.
So also that's positive.
Yeah.
That makes it so easy to do. You know, it was a bus ride for me to get there. It was great.
I mean, there were so many people on bikes going there, and I saw people like skiing to the venue. And I think that's what makes it so cool having it a place like Minneapolis, is you can see the skyline from the top point of the course.
Yes.
And I bet you, like, there was a couple thousand people there that knew nothing about cross-country skiing. But it was an event that people were excited about. So of course you go, right? And now maybe those people are going to sign up for ski races or ski lessons. And I think that's the coolest thing is you, I keep using this term, if you build it, they will come. But that is so true of what just happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And the city totally embraced it. You know, like the buses were free and everybody was involved. There was all these other activities.
Yeah. People were just so happy, you know? And that was the coolest thing about having an event that was free, thanks to Cher Winter and the Lapa Foundation. I mean, if this event cost money, it would be different, right?
Right.
But the fact that it was free in a public park on a golf course, like, it can't get any better than that. And that was like one of the coolest takeaways, is there were so many people there that were given the opportunity to go because it was free to the public. You know,
it was super special that those sponsors, you know, understood the value of that.
So special. Yeah. And I mean, thank goodness for them and all of the people behind the scenes that made this happen. I mean, Jesse included, right? I don't think people understand how hard it is to put on a World Cup, but I think they just put on a masterclass of how to put on a World Cup. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you. And thanks for talking about our sport.
Let's
keep it going.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I mean, this has been so fun. And
It's been so fun.
Yeah. And I have to say, so many people have gotten excited about cross-country skiing through hearing the athletes on the podcast. So that's exciting.
Right. Well, let's just keep it going, because this is, we're in a time that's pretty special right now.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's a wrap. I am so glad you could hear from someone else about how great this weekend in Minneapolis was. Thank you, Leanne, for being available for such a quick turnaround. I always appreciate you and everything you've been doing for all of the World Cup race reports. As I keep saying, they are super, super fun to put together. And for all of you listening, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed the Lapa Cup report. Of course, go back and listen to all of the race reports. Also, be sure to find the full episodes with Sammy Smith, Coach Kristen Bourne, and Jesse Diggins, who is still on the top of the World Cup overall standings. I've received so many terrific emails and positive responses to these episodes. I would definitely love to hear what you think also. Email elizabeth@hearhersports.com. You can also go to the website to contact me, sign up for the newsletter, listen to all of the episodes, and support the show through Bookshop, Buy Me a Coffee, and Noboso, a new affiliate that offers products for healthy feet. I absolutely love my Noboso insoles with those little stimulating bumps on them. The easiest way to use the affiliate link to support the podcast is to go to the Hear Her Sports website and click on the support tab. Let's keep all of the good Lapa Cup vibes going. And until next time, bye-bye.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.